back on Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 58. Way back when, I featured a guitar maker that, well, plain and simple, I just love their whole story. I love the ideology behind their brand, and the resulting pictures of their instruments were incredible, are incredible. But one of the things that was missing was me actually trying out these guitars. Well, that changes today because the folks at Boucher teamed up with the folks at Soundpure in Durham, North Carolina, which is one of their dealers, and they actually sent some guitars for me to try out of their own stock. So first of all, huge thanks to the folks at Soundpure, and also huge thanks to the folks at Boucher Guitars. This is a Canadian brand, and I gotta tell you, they are super in touch with building amazing guitars, but more importantly, sourcing the raw materials that will create amazing guitars. And you're gonna find out all about this company. But first, let's dig into the actual model that I got a chance to try. And it's called the Studio Goose, particularly the SG41C. Now there's a lot to that name and I'll get into the details, but I got a chance to take this guitar home, have some time with it, bond with it, if you will. So here's how it went. I am super excited because today I'm gonna put the Boucher Studio Goose 41C through its paces. It's an OM hybrid and I'm gonna tell you all about it. You're gonna hear what it sounds like and I'm gonna give you my honest thoughts on this particular guitar. The Boucher SG41C is a gorgeous guitar. While it's not heavy on the appointments, what was chosen for it was very intentional. The back and sides are all solid Brazilian mahogany, a nice crispy tone wood that yields a really strong mid-range. The top is red spruce. Now, this red spruce top is paired with red spruce bracing done in a forward shifted X fashion. So it's a very lively top. You've got an ebony bridge, bone saddle, beautiful herringbone throughout. The headstock is nice and classy. You've got the Boucher logo in white mother of pearl, Goto tuners, which are super smooth and function incredibly well. This guitar has the concert pack, meaning it has the Fishman Matrix Infinity pickup and a maple bound neck, which tops off the class. Pretty beautiful guitar, right? Especially when you put it against some mountains. But how does it sound? Well, let's go ahead and take it to the studio and see for ourselves. Need a beer after that one. Okay, so what do I think about the Boucher Studio Goose 41C? Well, let me say this. I think it is maybe the best example of an articulate guitar that also has body to it. Now, let me explain. I think guitars with articulation are fantastic, but usually what happens is they sound overly stringy and don't really offer much depth. This guitar offers a ton of depth. In fact, that was one of the things that I just immediately gravitated to with this particular instrument. Whether I was finger picking it, whether I was flat picking it, I noticed that the strings could speak nice and clear, but it also was paired with this wonderful, lush set of overtones that weren't distracting in any way, but really built up the sound. So I think the Studio Goose 41C is an impeccable instrument. I was amazed with the fit and finish. I just think overall it's a gorgeous, gorgeous guitar. Now, I'm not one for appointments, and this guitar definitely fits that bill. So if one of your local dealers has one of these in stock, please try it out because I think you'll be very, very impressed. Oh, and one more thing. Not only do I want to thank the folks at Boucher Guitars, but I also want to thank one of their dealers, Soundpure, for sending us these guitars out of their very own stock so we could check them out. So thanks, Soundpure. Thanks, Boucher. And again, make sure to try these guitars out at your local dealer if they happen to carry them. I really can't say enough good things about the Studio Goose 41C. You know, it's one of those guitars that when I played it, I didn't say like right off the bat, it like knocked my socks off, but the more I played it, the more I started to explore different tonal options, finger picking with finger picks, using the pads of my fingers, flat picking, I realized that this guitar upholds a serious amount of clarity, but also offers this wonderful body, as I mentioned in the review. So I am just more than tickled with this guitar. And the good news is this, that's not the last Boucher guitar you're gonna see. In fact, Soundpure was so kind, they actually sent another one, an HG, which is their Heritage Goose. It's got a torrified top, 12 fret, it's a gorgeous guitar. That's coming up on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, speaking of torrification, one of the things that really impresses me is that Robin Boucher, who's leading the small team of luthiers out there building Boucher guitars, is, as I mentioned before, really in touch with sourcing the right materials and also the treatment of those materials. Little fact here, Boucher actually produces red spruce tops for many different manufacturers, not just themselves. And one of the other things that I found out, if my memory serves me correctly, they were actually one of the first companies to introduce torrefaction to acoustic guitar tops. And once I found this out, I thought I need to go into this black hole of information. So I found this interview, I believe it's on a woodworking show in Canada, where Robin Boucher is actually talking about what torrefaction does to the guitar's top. So here it is.
Because I know that you manufacture guitars that has torrefied wood, so why torrefied wood? And we have one here behind us in display here. So why? What makes them so special, and why did you decide to build guitars with that?
Well, the goal for the guitar makers is to get, you know, a vintage sound right off a guitar, a brand new guitar. So the best way to do it is to torrefy the wood, roasted the wood, in order to break the lignin inside the wood, because in the wood we have three components, you know, the cellulose, the hemicellulose, and the lignin. And the wood moves because the lignin. So when the torrefaction process breaks the lignin, it gives a vintage sound direct to the guitar, and the wood, the soundboard is more stable, you know? It increase the stability of the soundboard.
Pretty fascinating stuff, and I gotta tell you, I'm super happy that somebody that's a guitar geek that loves building guitars is just as much wood geek. That just warms my heart. It makes my guitar geek heart almost explode with gratitude. So there you have it. Boucher guitars, particularly the Studio Goose, definitely give it a shot if one of your local dealers has one, or if you happen to see another guitar geek who is playing one. I think you'll be really impressed. I know I certainly was. Okay, last week on Acoustic Tuesday, we got to listen to Carrie Morin. We checked out the Heartbreaker of the Month, which happened to be a large sound hole Bourgeois OMC, which I now own. Long story on that, you gotta check it out. We listened to a song that I sang for you called Take My Heart, and you got to know the Music Wood documentary, and I hope by now all of you have at least seen it, or maybe just added it to your queue, because it's definitely a must-watch documentary. This week on Acoustic Tuesday, we've already looked at the Boucher Studio Goose. We're gonna take a look at flight cases and answer the question, are they really worth it or not so much? We're also gonna learn about an American songwriter who, well, we all quite frankly need to know, Woody Guthrie, and we're going to listen to a band that was recommended to us by an Acoustic Tuesday viewer from Oregon, who's also known as the 12-string slinger. All that and more right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode 111. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, episode 111. Triple ones. I don't know if that means anything if you're like a gambler on the slots. I don't know if 111 is a thing, but it sounds important, so I'm going to run with it. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week, but first we need to dive into some guitar geek trivia, so here is your question. In what year was the famous folk song, This Land Is Your Land, composed? A, 1937, B, 1940, C, 1944, or D, 1949. Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I will be sure to give you the answer. Now, I am excited to dig into the guitar geekiness that is Acoustic Tuesday, but prior to doing so, we need to check in with our jet setting, hair doing, pierced co-host, Sir Noah Jacob Ekman Jr. the first.
Tony, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Noah. How are you doing today?
Really good. Yeah, I got... It's a hit or miss for the kind of sleep that I might get.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Any given night, we were seriously like the Waltons, if you know what I'm talking about.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Good night, Ma. Mm. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Pa. Good night, Susie. Good night, Grandpa. And they all like sleep in the same bed together, like seven of them, like same deal.
Is this the California Hillbillies? What's that song where they shoot into the ground, the oil comes up?
That's the Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Okay. No, this is the Waltons. And
cool.
Anyway, nevertheless, I got good sleep last night.
Good. So, now, since you have such a large family, do you guys all sleep in a row of beds or the same bed?
We don't. However, as of late, it has been me and the three youngest.
Oh, okay.
Like camping out on the floor with fold-out beds. That's what we do. And it's a lot of fun.
I feel like I could explore that for hours.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it at that. Now, you just returned from Chicago.
I did.
My old stomping grounds.
I did.
And can you just give us a glimpse, a quick short glimpse into what you were actually doing in Chicago?
Sure thing. My pleasure. So I had an amazing opportunity to go to the Chicago area and visit a, not only... visit and meet several Tony's Acoustic Challenge members, but these members have come together into a jam club, into a tech jam club. And so I was honored to go into this place, hang out with these amazing people, and capture some rare footage of what these creatures are like in the wild. And it was a lot of fun. So I will say, be prepared to see some of this rare footage as we release it and it comes out.
We're talking guitar geeks in their natural habitat.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice. Now, did you take the whole National Geographic approach with the safari hat and the Jeep kind of thing, or was this a little bit more subdued?
As fun as a Jeep and a safari hat sounds,
yeah.
I'm going to say I went the subdued route.
Okay, cool.
But probably just as dangerous.
Well, I look forward to the full-on fleshed-out version of your visit.
Yes.
Thanks for giving us a little sneak peek, and I'm excited to hear all the shenanigans that went on. I saw some brief glimpses of footage and some pictures and things like that, and well, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what guitar geeks look like in their natural habitat, because I have a feeling it'll be like holding up a mirror to my own experience in the world.
No doubt. Tons of guitars, music, food, scotch, other whiskeys.
I heard there was a Lou Malnati's involvement.
There was.
Some deep dish.
Yeah, you talk about your stomping grounds.
Yeah.
I guess I was taken there. I don't know why they thought I would think that was special.
You probably felt really connected to me when you were there. No? Cool. No.
No, that's true. That's true. It was pretty cool to say, like, oh, okay, so this is, you know, Tony's stomping grounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, that did cross my mind, and that was a very nice moment.
Really appreciate you thinking of me. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, let's move on. I want to dig into this next segment, and this is one that has really kind of, well, it seemingly has come out of nowhere, but become quite the tradition, and you all, judging by the comments, are really digging this What Do You Think segment. And, oh, have I got a hot button topic for you today. I'm going to ask the question, then we're going to take a look at this video, and then, of course, we'll discuss. I'll let you know what I think. Noah will tell us what he thinks, and, of course, we want to know what you think. The topic of the day is distressed or relict guitars. And I wrote down this question. Here's the question. Do you dig it, or would you rather infuse your guitar with your own mojo? And what I'm talking about is these guitars that are new but are made to look old. Now, if you don't have a visual or if you haven't had experience with these guitars yet, don't worry. I'm going to tee us up with a wonderful video from Martin. Now, this was released, I want to say, last year when Martin was announcing their first ever D28 Authentic that was actually distressed. So you'll have a look at this guitar, and then I'll tell you my thoughts. And I actually think you're going to be pretty surprised. So here's the video.
The key here with the two guitars we're holding today is that they're both new guitars.
They're both new.
Now, this is a 1937 D28 Authentic.
Yes, it is. It started out that way.
It started out that way, but for the first time, we're going to be offering an age process in 2017 on this particular guitar, on the D28 1937. And how many of these do you plan on doing this year?
50.
Just 50?
Just 50, because they're going to be hand done. So think about that. They're already, all authentics are handmade,
right?
High glue. So these are no different, but we're going to hand age these.
Okay.
And only a couple people are going to do that.
Now,
okay. So distressed guitars, guitars that are new but are made to look worn out, as if they were played for years and years and years and years. I have a two-part answer. The first part is this: aesthetically, I think it looks really cool, and I think there's two companies of note that are doing a fantastic job with this. Pre-War Guitars is the first one. I think they actually make it look and feel believable, which I think is one of the most difficult things. They didn't just take the common wear areas and wear them out and say, "Yep, we're done." They actually put a lot of thought and time into it, and I think it looks really, truly authentic. The second company is Atkins Guitars Overseas. They've done some distressed models that if you kind of have to do a double take, because it's like, holy smokes, that looks really old, is it? And it happens to not be. So aesthetically, I love the look of distressed guitars. However, to answer the question more directly, do I like them? Would I ever buy one? I can't do it. I can't buy a pre-distressed guitar. It's not for me. I would much rather infuse the guitar with my own mojo, have it wear in the places that I play it the most, have the back of the neck get worn where I play it the most, as opposed to somebody else deciding to do it for me. That's just my own personal take. No judgment at all if you happen to like distressed guitars. I just know that for me, it's a no-go. I'd rather buy a new guitar and infuse it with my own character. Noah, I'm gonna turn it over to you. What's your take on this distressed phenomenon, if you will?
Okay, well, first of all, I think we're in the same camp.
Oh, that surprises me.
We're in the same campgrounds. It's not my preference.
Okay.
But let me speak a little bit to this video in particular.
Okay.
I think with the type of history and guitar making reputation that Martin has, I don't think it was a great move. Because they don't need to do it.
Oh.
There's no reason for them to do it. Pre-war, that's like part of their bag.
I see.
That's part of the package.
Yeah.
But Martin doesn't need to do that. So coming from them, I feel like it's kind of like a novelty thing.
Interesting. That's a great perspective.
So there's that. But then I also agree with you that a truly, you know, distressed guitar from actual playing through the years, there's a magic in that.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to get that magic in one that's made
to look old?
Made to look old.
Yeah. So that's a really great perspective. You know, I never even took into account the fact that, you know, of all the companies to start doing this, Martin does it, and do they really need to? That's really interesting. And of course, we would love for you to weigh in on the topic as well. So in the comments below, Let us know what you think about distressed guitars. It doesn't have to be particularly Martin, but let us know if distressed guitars are your bag or they're not your bag. No judgment. We just want to know. We want to start the Guitar Geek conversation. I will say this. When I worked at Weber, this was some years ago, back in 2008, 2009, when they were still here in Logan, Montana, we had just started dabbling with the whole distressed notion. In fact, we made a couple mandolins that were distressed. And I always thought they looked really cool, but I do understand the amount of work that goes into doing that. And make it look really good and truly authentic. And it's not like antiquing a door where you just bang it with some chains and hang it up and say, yeah, that's an old door. There's actually a lot of time and effort that go into putting the wear in the right places. So bottom line, we want to know what you think. So let us know in the comments below. All right, moving on down the line, I want to touch on our trivia question. No, I'm not going to give you the answer. That's going to come later. But I want to talk to you about a book that I received that I think everybody should read. If you're interested in songwriting, if you're interested in American history, if you're interested in Woody Guthrie specifically, or you're interested in the tune, This Land Is Your Land. Because this book that I have to share with you is written by Robert Santelli. It's called This Land Is Your Land, Woody Guthrie and the Journey of an American Folk Song, specifically, This Land Is Your Land. Now, this book was given to me very early on in Whitney and I's courtship. In fact, the first Christmas I spent with her family, her folks gifted me this book because they knew I was a music geek. They didn't necessarily know to what degree I was a music geek yet, but they quickly found out. But I dug into this book immediately and was super surprised because This Land Is Your Land is like this happy folk song that the kids sing. The original version of This Land Is Your Land is much more critical. Is that the right word? It was not meant as a celebratory song. It was almost a criticism or a knockoff of God Bless America. So this book tells the whole story on that. It gives you really cool insight into the song itself, but also Woody Guthrie, his story, the songs he wrote, the travels he went on, and of course, just kind of his whole process. And it's so tied in with American history. If you're a history buff, this book is definitely for you. Now, because this is Acoustic Tuesday, and because I generally do a deep dive on all the things I feature on the show, I was looking up, I wanted to find an interview with Robert Santelli because I know that he's involved with a lot of different museums and curating and things like that. And what I found was that there's actually a Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I thought, rather than just feature the book, I'll feature the book for those of the folks that can't make it to Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit the Woody Guthrie Center. But for those that may be planning a trip in the near future, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you might be just passing through it. Maybe it's not a destination, but the Woody Guthrie Center is there. And who was interviewed about the Woody Guthrie Center? None other than Robert Santelli, the author of this book. So, with that being said, let's take a look at this video that was done right prior to the opening of the Woody Guthrie Center that features this author, Robert or Bob Santelli.
Well, the Woody Guthrie Center, of course, opens this Saturday, and it's an exciting thing for a couple of reasons. One is that this is the first time that Oklahomans will be able to come and actually visit the Woody Guthrie Archives, which just moved here from New York. And second, this is a one-of-a-kind institution. It's high-tech, it's really interactive, and it's really designed to tell not just the story of Woody Guthrie and his life and legacy, but also it's really an American story. This is an American story about tragedy and triumph. It's a story about how music can act as an agent for social, political, cultural change in this country. And it's a story about someone who loved this country, was really a musical patriot, and who wrote some of the most important songs in American folk music treasury. Woody Guthrie wrote timeless songs. He wrote over 3,000 of them, and we're still finding them, actually. But I think most importantly, he was someone who had his finger on the pulse of America in the 1930s and 40s when he wrote most of his songs. And the interesting thing, and the kind of sad thing, is that the songs that he wrote and the topics that he wrote about are still with us today. He wrote about immigration reform. He wrote about banking reform. He wrote about the difference between the haves and have-nots, the difference between those people who are involved in the American dream and those people who can't even get a small piece of the American dream. He's all of this and more. The Woody Guthrie Center is now located in Tulsa, Oklahoma for one really good reason, and that is that Woody Guthrie was born here. And a lot of his sensibility about music, about politics, about America really came from his early days here in Oklahoma. Thanks to the generosity of the people of Oklahoma and the George B. Kaiser Foundation, Woody Guthrie basically has come home.
I think what I love most, well, there's two things. First, you can sit across the street, have a beer, and look at that beautiful mural. Second, you get to look at the Woody Guthrie archives, which, judging by the amount of songs that he wrote, is pretty extensive. You've got artwork, you've got lyrics, you've got letters, just all sorts of things. So definitely a must stop on any guitar geek journey. So make sure to check that out. To learn more about this book and the Woody Guthrie Center, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT111. Noah, I think I'm going to continue saying 111 instead of 111.
I like that.
111 feels like a milestone, you know?
Yeah.
It's certainly a palindrome.
I keep getting confused on whether or not it's proper to say 111 or 111. I think the and's not supposed to be there.
I agree, and this brings up a really important topic. I'm very much still a person that writes checks. I don't like auto pay or e-pay or auto bill deduction, whatever they're calling it these days. I like to write the check. And I wrote a check, and I think I stuck like three ands in it. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, I know that's not right. But I sent it anyway because I didn't want to sacrifice the check.
I do my ands. Now you're getting us into another topic. I always put a little plus sign for the and. So I'll write out, you know, like 111, a little plus sign, the cents.
And the long line.
Over.
Yeah.
100. Okay. Or I do XX. I do the cents over XX and then the line.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess I switch it up all the time. I like to keep the bill collectors on their toes. Make sure they're really reading my check, you know what I mean? It's probably a computer anyway. Well, let's dig into some comments. I pulled some comments from episode Acoustic Tuesday episode 108, and some wonderful discussion. What's that?
Episode 108?
Did I say and 8?
You said and 8.
God! I pulled some comments from Acoustic Tuesday episode 108. It just doesn't... I think the and allows me time to think. I like it. It's a spacer. So let's dig right into those comments. The first one comes from Picker Dad. And this is more of a question, and being the amazing community that all of you Acoustic Tuesday viewers create, there was a great response, an accurate response, and I just want to read it because it just warms my guitar geek heart. Picker Dad says this, "Hey Tony, the microphone I see in front of Noah, I have seen in all sorts of videos and guitar demos, including yours and Magic Matt's. It sounds awesome, but what is it, and where can we get it? True guitar geeks need to know." And to which there was a reply from Stanislav, another Acoustic Tuesday viewer, and he said, "It's an Edwina by Ear Trumpet Labs. In my honest opinion, a great piece of gear. I couldn't agree more. To me, so just to be clear, the microphone that Noah uses is an Edwina, which is made by Ear Trumpet Labs, which I believe they're out in Oregon or Washington. They're on the West Coast, Upper West Coast. And you can get that microphone directly from them. And in my opinion, I think it's one of the most effective microphones for acoustic instruments. More importantly, I think it's priced very well. Now, I'm not saying that it's cheap, because it's not cheap. I want to say they're right around $300. But I think looks-wise, it's beautiful. Functionality, it sounds great. It's fairly transparent. And they come in these cool metal boxes. Total afterthought, but I like packaging, and It's cool packaging. We ended up getting a match studio pair here for the studio, but I can't say enough good things about Ear Trumpet Labs and all the microphones they create. To learn more about Ear Trumpet Labs, we actually featured them way back, early Acoustic Tuesday history, episode number 6. So make sure to check that out if you have any more questions. And again, you can get those direct from Ear Trumpet Labs online. And of course, you can find all the links at acousticlife.tv. Our next comment comes from Card Game Coffin, and this is in response to a What Do You Think segment, specifically the one where a young man pawned off Stephen Stills' 1941 J200 for $85,000. And the question was, would you do that or would you hang on to the guitar? Card Game Coffin says this: on the J200, I would not want to sell it to a pawn shop, and I'm not sure I'd want to play it for fear of breaking or messing it up. I'd be fine with either donating it or selling it to some kind of music museum. Very pay-it-forward guitar geek approach. Thank you for that comment. Now, there was also lively discussion because we may have referenced alternate dimensions and Stranger Things. So Paul Ackerman took this question into a whole different realm, if you will.
A different dimension. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, what do I think about selling Stephen Stills' 1941 Gibson J200? I think we should rename the quantum mechanics thought experiment from Schrodinger's cat to Heckman's guitar. Which universe do we live in? You need to open the guitar case. In one universe, it contains a famous guitar. In another, it contains a stack of 20s totaling $85,000. To which another Acoustic Tuesday viewer, Don, replies, and in another universe, it opens up with a false bottom, holding a true arsenal of weapons. A minute later, Antonio Banderas appears and says, I need my guitar case back for Desperado 10, The Final Reckoning. To which I am completely speechless. The initial question really turned into a beast of its own.
Well, you were saying that earlier, and I feel like we're part to blame.
It could very well be. Yeah, we definitely took a mild detour talking about Stranger Things and the Upside Down. But let me just say this, I appreciate you viewers taking that detour with us and almost just humoring us. The fact that you mentioned Antonio Banderas is awesome. I thought that was a great tie-in. Hashtag Antonio Banderas.
Yeah,
hashtag famous Tonys.
He's not, I like him.
Was he in From Dusk Till Dawn?
No.
Oh.
That was George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino first. Now, I know they did a second one. Maybe he was in the second one? Probably not.
I don't know. Another piece of trivia.
But he was in Spy Kids 1 and 2, and those are some pretty good movies.
Oh, man, I'm trying to exhibit some self-control here, but I got to go there. So when I was in college, I did merchandising for Tony's Pizza. Pretty cool, right? The frozen pizza, you know? So I'd go to stores, and I'd stock shelves. Well, all I remember from that is that Tony's Pizza was running some special when Spy Kids, the movies, were coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Never saw the movie. Just saw it on the pizza boxes.
Mm.
A fun fact for all of you folks keeping notes out there. The next comment, I'm bringing us back on track here, is from Jim H. And he says this: I have to give Tony kudos on the minimum time commitment, the MTC tip, that he gave on a previous episode. This is a real gem that is really working for me. That 10-minute playing time usually will morph into 40 minutes easily, and not playing the same old stuff, but rather working on new material and technique that has really helped out my motivation and playing. Thanks. Enjoy watching the show each week from Janesville, Wisconsin. Well, thank you, Jim. And for those of you who want to dig into that 10-minute tip, put simply, all it is committing to a minimum time commitment of 10 minutes, meaning all you have to do is commit a daily 10-minute playing session. That's all I want you to do. Make that minimum time commitment. This way, you can get those 10 minutes in, feel great about it, but if it extends into longer than 10 minutes, it's like a bonus. It's like a cherry on top. So it's a nice way to kind of keep your mindset in a nice positive place when you're playing and practicing guitar. So again, thanks for watching, Jim. Now, these next two comments are really more small wins, and they actually happened right next to one another on the little YouTube comment feed, so I just decided to pull them both into the same one. The first one comes from Don, and he says this: small win. Now 3 in a row for guitar trivia. Pretty sure I heard somewhere before about the success of Eric Clapton's Unplugged. Too bad I didn't originally remember that the hashtag goes before the small win, not after. And the next small win comes from Derek Martinez, and he says, hashtag small win, hashtag new gear day. I just finished building my first guitar over the weekend, a Sitka and Rosewood Triple O from a kit. plays and sounds great. A few small imperfections, but that just gives me something to work on next time. I'm thinking my next one will be from scratch. Well, congratulations, Derek. That is really, really awesome. To build your own guitar and to kind of, I don't know, I can't imagine. Like, you finish your guitar and you're playing it and you created it, and now you're already planning on building the next one? I love it. A true guitar geek indeed, so congratulations. And I want to thank everybody that left a comment. It's so cool to hear from you all. And if I could, I'd just read every single comment because there's some great stuff in there. So I would encourage you all to please read the comments because you guys are pretty funny. You guys are all really, really funny. And there's some great little trivia that gets thrown in there as well. So thank you very much. Now, one of the things I want to do, I actually want to do this from here on out, because as you may or may not know, we're currently in the midst of a mega fundraiser for Guitars for Vets. That's going to come to a culmination on November 11th, where we're going to do a live show, and all of our fundraising efforts, it's just going to be a big celebration. We're trying to raise $100,000 for the Guitars for Vets organization, and I got to say, I'm really excited about the progress. I'm going to report on a little bit of it later here today, but one of the things that dawned on me, because I was on the Guitars for Vets Facebook page, which you should like, by the way, because it's just good for the soul, I think. They were showing pictures, excuse me, of all their graduates. And I thought, why don't we feature the graduates on the Acoustic Tuesday show? There's no better way to get a direct connection to what Guitars for Vets is actually doing than to see the graduates. To see these people with smiles on their faces, they've graduated the program, they've got their guitar, they've got their certificate, and they're starting life as a guitar geek, and they're feeling that healing power of music. So in our inaugural little G4V shout out here, I wanna give a mega shout out to the Loma Linda chapter of Guitars for Vets. Now there's a little bit of history here, and you'll see this picture. There's all the vets with their guitars, all the graduates, and it just, first of all, it makes me smile to see that many people discovering music and having fun and having it help heal them wherever they're at. But the Loma Linda chapter is actually near and dear to me because while I've never been there, that was my first exposure to Guitars for Vets. The chapter leader actually reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love to use some of your fingerpicking material for the students once they graduate. You know, this will give them something nice to work on so that they can continue their guitar journey. I said, absolutely. Feel free to use any of the tabs. That's totally fine. I would love to provide that. And they did. So it started this cool relationship, and then all of a sudden becoming an ambassador, and now we're doing these big fundraising efforts is really cool. So cheers to the folks at the Loma Linda Guitars for Vets chapter. Congratulations to all you graduates. And I'm just excited to continue to learn and know more about the Guitars for Vets organization and, of course, feature the graduates here on the Acoustic Tuesday show. All right. Whoa. Wow. Oh, yeah. We're going to do flight cases. I'm excited. Oh, yeah. And the band. I'm excited about that. Sorry, I'm just looking at my list. All right, we've got the artist coming up. We've got a little bit of a mailbag arrival, specifically shaped like a bunch of records. Can't wait to share that with you. And of course, your trivia answer. But before we dig into that, let's talk about flight cases. Flight cases, in many cases, pun. Noah says I don't like puns, but I just effortlessly infused the pun into my monologue there.
Well, I didn't say you didn't like giving the puns.
Flight cases, in many cases, are really expensive, oftentimes really close to the price of a guitar. So one of the questions that a lot of us guitar geeks wrestle with is, gosh, is it worth it? Should I get a flight case? And I wrestle with it as well. We've got a ton of guitars. I've only got one flight case. It's only for dreadnoughts. I'm very happy that I have that flight case, though. So the answer is an emphatic yes. I think flight cases are totally worth it. But I wanted to put my finger on the pulse of what other guitar geeks say. So luckily, Matt C. from Eddie's Guitars was here just some months back, and we sat down and talked about flight cases. We exhausted the topic of flight cases. So if you're wondering what Matt thinks, well, we should just ask Matt. So, well, I did. I asked Matt. And here's what he said about flight cases. One of the questions we get often is flight cases. Are they worth it? Should I get one? What's the deal and why are they so expensive? So since Matt's here, I wanted to throw that question his way and say, Matt, what is the deal with flight cases? You see, you guys are a Colton dealer.
We are.
And I'm assuming you guys sell quite a few. In fact, one of your customers was here and he's like, oh, my Colton arrived at your store. So what's your take on Colton cases?
Carlton cases are amazing. I mean, they've got quite a heritage, rightly so. You know, yeah. It's a very, very well-made case. For years, they were built up in Canada. I think that your Carlton was a Canadian
it's an older
build.
One. Yeah.
They're now being produced out of Austin, Texas, right. and they're as great as they've ever been. You know, yeah. They've kind of done some updates to them in recent years, kind of tidy things up with their latches and stuff. But man, they're awesome. I love the Carltons. They're definitely my favorite flight case out there. Is a flight case always necessary, though, is the question. I mean, is it always necessary? Absolutely not. I mean, there's people out there toting guitars around with gig bags, you know. But for travel, and another way I like to look at it is if you live in particularly unfriendly environments, weather-wise, they're a very worthwhile investment. Flight cases typically seal up a whole lot more than your typical hard shell case. And because of that, they more efficiently hold all the stuff in and hold everything else out. Usually a little bit more weight involved naturally with a little heavier materials, but they're expensive. You know, a good flight case can be as expensive as a nice guitar, you know? But if you are investing a lot of money into a nice guitar and you want to be able to take it with you on an airplane, on a boat, you know, anywhere you might want to go, if you travel with your instruments, it's a one-time investment that is very worthwhile. And what's neat, and I can't speak to all the different case manufacturers out there, but Carlton specifically, they've got like, you know, the best warranty ever. It's like, did something mess up with your case? We'll either fix it for free or we'll send you a new one. Like, no questions asked. It's like you could drop it off a building and destroy it, and probably wouldn't destroy it actually, but you could do whatever you needed to do to destroy it, and they would figure out how to make it right for you, like, quickly. Pretty cool.
I'm reminded of when I was living in Chicago, there's a mandolin player in Chicago, still in Chicago, great mandolin player, Don Sternberg. He was on a tour overseas. And it was late. They were loading out of the gig. He had his it was a Collings MF5V varnish finish, nice mandolin. I believe that was the model. I might be skewing some of the details, but he had it in a Carlton case. And again, loading out after the gig, set it on the roof of the car, loaded everything in, went ahead and drove away. fell off the roof of the car. Driver backs up to go get the mandolin, backs over the case. Not a scratch on the mandolin. Barely a scratch on the case, to be honest.
Right, right.
And I remember him saying that in a he did a presentation for one of my sound classes because he was there as an artist. And I was like, oh, fascinated. And then later on, one of his friends and great flat picker, Chris Walls, I'm like, Chris, do you like your Carlton case? I think it was a Carlton. It might have been just another flight case. I'm pretty sure it was a Carlton, though. 12 fret D18 that was in there. He put his guitar in the case, latched it, and proceeded to jump on the case right in front of me in the store. And I was like, it's a fair amount of confidence in that case. So I think bottom line, I think, you know, if you travel a lot, if you have a nice guitar, it's almost like buying an insurance policy for your instrument.
Well, and I'm really impressed. Some of the folks that have been showing up at ALF.
Yeah.
Showing up with some pretty nice flight cases, and it's like they know what's up.
Well, man, I appreciate the firsthand thoughts on that. That's awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, huge thanks to Matt for taking the time to answer that hot button topic. What's the deal with flight cases? Are they worth it? And again, as I mentioned before, I am very much in the camp of yes, they are. If you fly or travel at all, and you're worried about checking your instrument, you're worried about the safety of your instrument throughout the flight, I think flight cases just provide that wonderful sense of security. While they don't stop everything, they certainly will keep your guitar out of harm's way for the most part. So hopefully you take that little conversation, stick it in your Guitar Geek brain, and the next time you're thinking about a flight case, well, hopefully the folks at Carlton give like a special for Acoustic Tuesday viewers. That's just me pleading publicly for a discount code for Carlton cases. I'm not trying to sound needy, but I just think it would be cool, especially around the holidays, in front of all these guitar geeks.
I mean, Halloween is coming up.
My favorite holiday of them all.
I know.
As is evident by Poe the right. desk skeleton crow.
And your colors of your acoustic life.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Fall. I yeah. love fall. I love Halloween. And I know we don't have an episode on Halloween, but I'll make sure to church it up for Halloween. I'll get some masks, a new dose of masks. Yep.
Looking real forward to it.
All right, move on. Let's check out some guitar signals. Actually, this is where the record scratch comes in. We're not going to do guitar signals today because, as I mentioned before, we're in the midst of this major fundraising effort for Guitarists for Vets. And part of that fundraising effort is we launched an entire merch line of Acoustic Tuesday for Vets. We're talking t-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, pillows, blankets, phone cases, it's all there. And you can, of course, pick one item up for yourself or multiple items at at4vets.com. That's at the number 4, V-E-T-S.com. And we ask that when you purchase one of those Acoustic Tuesday for Vets merchandise pieces that you take a picture of yourself, maybe wearing it or next to your guitar, and submit it at at4vets.com. Well, I've got some submissions for you today from both Rob and Dennis. Sorry. The first one comes from Rob G. from Seminole, Florida. And here he is sporting his Acoustic Tuesday for Vets t-shirt with, of course, his trusty Martin guitar. Thank you so much, Rob, for contributing to the fundraiser. Thank you for posting a picture, and just appreciate you taking the time to do that. And so do the folks at Guitars for Vets. Our next submission comes from Dennis F. from Oakland, New Jersey. He says, hi, Tony and Noah. And here he is with his Acoustic Tuesday for Vets shirt. Who are those people with him, though? We need to know. Well, there's a story. So here's the story. I'll read it. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I sure did. I have attached a photo of me wearing an AT for Vets shirt along with Wesley Schultz and Jeremiah Freites from the Lumineers. I received my shirt Saturday just in time to wear it to the Live From Here with Chris Thiele show. After the show, my daughter and I waited outside to see if we could get a picture. Chris and Jeremiah obliged. I asked Wesley if he was familiar with Guitars for Vets, and he said he had heard about it. He mentioned his uncle was a vet. A great ending to a great show, and he signs off with the sentiment GHB, to which I was like, what? But thankfully, he spelled it out for me. Guitars, hockey, bourbon. And I think I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna sign off all of my outgoing emails with GHB instead of cheers from now on. He says cheers, Dennis. So thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Rob, for submitting those pictures. Thank you also for supporting the Guitars for Vets cause. And if you're wondering how you can help support the Guitars for Vets cause, there's actually three different things you can do. Four, actually. We'll say four. I like the number four. Feels even. Number one, you can purchase any Acoustic Tuesday for Vets merchandise at at4vets.com. All of the proceeds from merchandise sales with the Acoustic Tuesday for Vets logo will go directly to Guitars for Vets as part of our fundraising efforts. You can, of course, submit pictures of yourself with those shirts on, which would be super rad. You can make a monetary donation off of that same website, at4vets.com. You can recommend another brand that we should reach out to see if we can get any industry folks involved in the fundraising efforts, of which I have a couple to report on. And then lastly, one of the big things you can do, whether you donated, whether you can't donate, please spread the word about this fundraiser. That really has the biggest impact. The more people that know about this fundraising effort, the more that we bring into our Guitar Geek community, the more fundraising potential that we have, and the more likely we are to make this a really big thing that starts to be on the radar of some big time people. I'm talking within the industry, and we can all join together for a really good cause. And again, just share that URL with everybody, at4vets.com. Okay. Moving right forward, I'm going to dig into the mailbag right now. Now, I know that Noah, what you got over there? Huh, interesting. It seems like Noah might have had some arrivals, but we're going to skip him for now because I've got some really exciting stuff. I was, Whitney's grandmother gifted me with an Amazon gift card, to which I was stoked because what that means is I get to go on Amazon and I get to shop for records. Okay. Note, here's a little pro tip for you, for those of you shopping on Amazon. After two glasses of bourbon, you are liable to make some mistakes. It happens, it's okay, but I want you to learn from my mistake. When ordering records, make sure it actually says vinyl instead of CD, because I wanted to order Julian Baker's Turn Out the Lights record, vinyl, you know, vinyl record, but instead I got a CD. And I didn't try and put this on my turntable yet, but I don't think that the results will be desirable. But I'll still listen to it because CDs are cool too. I dig CDs. I just like vinyl more. Very much not in the acoustic music realm, but very much as a nod, a tip of the hat to my love for metal. I got Slipknot's new album, beautiful, 180 gram vinyl. Oh, I love it. I love feeling the weightiness of the vinyl. So that came in. I did make the right choice here. Julian Baker's album, Sprained Ankle, which I was excited that was not a CD, but an actual vinyl record. And then last but certainly not least, Boy Genius, which features Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus. And one of the best EPs, I think, ever. If you were to choose one album that is considered an EP, this is the one you should choose. That's my endorsement. No, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
Looks like you are fully decked out. Does your hat say bourbon?
Unfortunately, yes.
Cool.
So, as you know, I was in Chicago with some TAC members. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so this isn't a mailbag per se, but it was gifted to me.
Okay, okay.
So this comes from Larry MC.
Okay.
And he visited. It's Whiskey Acres Distillery Co. in DeKalb.
DeKalb, yeah, that's
Illinois,
south.
So Illinois. Now, I was going to wait to do this. Oh, yeah, hold on. Then, as I mentioned, you know, part of what I was doing was filming, you know, the TAC members in their natural habitat in the jam club. And somehow they've managed to, like, split within the jam club and have a gentleman of the jam club and ladies of the jam club.
Oh.
And they gifted me with an official t-shirt of the gentleman of the jam club.
Is that a picture of Denny?
That's an outline of Denny.
That is awesome.
Now, this was designed, both the ladies of the TAC jam club and the gentleman was designed by Kathy S., who took a cue from a Joni Mitchell album.
So, that is awesome.
There's that. Now, they didn't want to leave you out. So
okay, okay.
Larry also brought this and said, you can include Tony.
Yes. Yes. I love it. That's awesome.
So, buddy, here you go.
You going to throw it to me?
I'm gonna toss it to you.
Oh, thanks, man. This is awesome.
There you go.
I'm really excited about this. I love it. Ha. You see the little corn in the O?
Yes.
That's pretty cute.
Yes.
I like it a lot. Oh, the corn's shaped like a bottle. Look at that.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Well,
but
thank you. Thank you.
If you want, you can have the hat. And...
Well, Noah, I'm trying to slowly through subliminal messaging and just general osmosis and being in my presence convert you.
To what?
To a bourbon lover?
I like bourbon, okay?
You don't have to get sad.
We talk about it and you turn into a fight all the time.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you all have to witness this fight.
It goes back to those early dart days.
I know.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
The battle? That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Might have to reinvigorate that one of these days.
Well, so cheers to all the mailbag, but, you know, especially to Larry and the TAC Jam Club in Chicago.
The Windy City Half and Whole Notes.
You got it. I was just going to say it. So cheers.
Well, speaking of TAC members and things like that, we're not going to stay in the Midwest. We're going to visit the lovely state of Oregon. Because Paul Hudson, who is a TAC member, an Acoustic Tuesday viewer, and an Acoustic Life Festival attendee, I think he's been to all but one, I want to say. Or maybe he's been to all of them. Now they're all blurring together. It's kind of cool that there's been so many Acoustic Life Festivals now that they kind of blur together.
Yeah.
That's kind of a neat feeling. But anyways, Paul has been to many Acoustic Life Festivals, and he always shows up with a 12 string. And in my eyes, he's kind of a tall fella. He's got glasses. Extremely talented player. A wonderful singer. And he always brings the 12 string. So he's kind of like the cowboy that comes walking in, like the 12 string slinger. Anyways, incredibly supportive TAC member and just somebody that you want to be by because he just has a great attitude, is always willing to help. So Paul recommended a band for us to check out. Now he says this of a particular song. He says, I heard the song on an open mic and was totally hooked. great vocal blend, and spot-on instrumentals. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the band Red Molly. And specifically, he cited the song Sing to Me, which I think I've listened to roughly 48 times since receiving this submission. And each time, it kind of feels, it makes me feel a little weepy. I love the voice. He's spot on with the vocal blend. So without further ado, here is Red Molly singing the song Sing to Me.
When the hurt is spread and I ain't got a standing leg, darling, sing to me. When the night rolls in, bringing howling winds, and I cannot sleep.
Pretty beautiful song. I will say so myself. Now, if you're wondering who these fine ladies are, well, we've got Abby Gardner, Lori McAllister, and Molly Venter. Now, that's the trio. They also have some, maybe I'll call them auxiliary members, who appear a little bit later in the history of the band. We've got upright bassist Craig Aiken and electric guitarist Eben Pariser. I hope I said that right. I don't want to butcher anybody's name. And they create quite the sound. Now, that's coming a little bit later, but one of the things that struck me, and Paul really much, he hit the nail on the head when he said the vocal blend and the harmonies are great. And what I love about this configuration of females is that each of them has signature voice, a unique timbre that they bring to the table. So it's not like they all have these like Hollywood like voices where they're all the same and they blend together and it sounds like a computer's making it. Each has their own sonic stamp, right? And as they blend together, it just creates this wall of vocal harmony that I love. And I think a great example is their cover of a 1952 Vincent Black Lightning by Richard Thompson. So I found a great kind of a low-key version of this that really has their vocal performance shining. So here it is.
You at the corners and cafes, it seems. Red hair and black leather, my favorite color scheme. And he pulled her on behind. And down the Box Hill, they did.
Okay, now, you all know that I love dobro. I love slide guitar. Well, if you don't, you do now. I have just an absolute sweet spot for dobro. I'm just a sucker for it. I love blues. I love the vocal quality of the instrument. And luckily for us, Abby is a fine dobro player. She plays Beard guitars, so another shout out to the folks at Beard. And wow, this next song I'm about to share with you shows some wonderful dobro playing, wonderful vocals. It's got all the members of the band, and I just think it's a great example of what these people can do when they're together on the same stage, and it looks like they're having a ton of fun. So without further ado, here's the tune, Once the Teardrops Start to Fall.
They say life's what you make it, and I know it's true. Every day I make myself believe I'm over you. They say put the past behind you, let it go.
Huge tip of the hat to Abby for being a badass dobro player, and just a huge tip of the hat to the entire band for creating beautiful music. Now, I want you to learn more about Red Molly, and of course, you can do that at acousticlife.tv/AT111. But you might be wondering what albums you should get, and I've picked out three of them for you to check out. The first is the Red album, fitting title. Next is Light in the Sky. And then lastly, the album titled James. Now you can check out all the performances, get purchase links to those albums at that URL that I just mentioned, acousticlife.tv/AT111. Wow, Noah, we cruised. We have gone on quite the journey. I'm almost ready to wrap the show up.
Oh, I was gonna say time flies when you're having fun.
But I'm sure you're wondering what year the famous folk song, This Land Is Your Land, was composed.
Been dreaming about it.
You've been dreaming about it? Well, luckily enough for us, that was our Guitar Geek trivia question. So let me just rephrase it so we're all on the same page. I'll re-give you the options. Reiterate, not re-give. That's kind of, re-give is, that's a word I just created. In what year was the famous folk song, This Land Is Your Land, composed? A, 1937, B, 1940, C, 1944, or D, 1949? Now, for those of you who made a quick trip to the Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you probably already know. But for those of you who are just guessing, if you guessed B, 1940, you are correct. This Land Is Your Land is one of the United States' most famous folk songs. Its lyrics were written by American folk singer Woody Guthrie in his room at the Hanover House Hotel at 43rd Street and 6th Avenue, New York, in the year 1940. The song was a critical response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America. When Guthrie was tired of hearing Kate Smith sing God Bless America on the radio in the late 1930s, he sarcastically called his song God Blessed America for Me, before renaming it This Land Is Your Land. A March 1944 recording in the possession of the Smithsonian is the earliest known recording of the song. Between going to the Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, getting this book, you'll be a full-blown Woody Guthrie expert by the end of this episode. Right? It's magic. Well, Noah.
Yes, Tony?
The doorbell rang, to which we opened the door, and there was a party full of guitar geeks awaiting. We kindly invited them to enter the house, where we busted out the red Solo cups. Bottles of bourbon and scotch flowed freely throughout the early evening into the early dawn hours. At the end, cups were strewn about, bottles were empty, tilted on the floor, stains were on the carpet from spilled bourbon, spilled scotch, spilled other drinks, and we had to send those guitar geeks home to live their best acoustic life and recover for next week's Acoustic Tuesday episode. Brought to you by yours truly. Your,
folks.
That was good.
Oh, I will.
No?
It was consistent.
Yeah, I stayed on the storyline.
You did.
And I tried to paint a picture.
And I do appreciate you putting scotch in there. You didn't have to.
I didn't. But I did. I did for you. I wanted to resolve that fight, that really bad fight we got in earlier. So with that, the Acoustic Tuesday Show, episode 111, comes to a close. But before I leave you all to your guitar journeys and your acoustic life, I do want to take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen. Next week on the Acoustic Tuesday Show, I write this stuff and I can't even believe it comes out of my own pen. A comparison that will get you stomping. This one, next one makes sense. A new song off my album. That's exciting. That's hopefully coming in December. It's in production right now. It apparently takes some time to cut vinyl. We're going to get a visit from a reptilian doctor and much more. That's coming up next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv. And if you get a wild hair, make sure to check out at4vets.com. You can learn all about our fundraising efforts. And of course, please share the absolute heck out of that link, because we want everybody on board for this, because this is truly a life-changing fundraiser. So thank you again for your sharing your time with us today. We appreciate you being a guitar geek. We appreciate you inviting us into your acoustic life, and may you live your best acoustic life. Cheers to you, guitar geek, and remember, guitar geeks unite.